So I beseech you, brethren, to not be conformed to the world. And then towards the end of this section, of this thought that he's bringing, he says to them in verse 11 of chapter 13, besides this, you know the time. And I want you to think as you hear these words, and as I hope maybe you read along with me, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me and to you and to all of those who will listen to him. He says to us through Paul, he says, beside this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And he wraps that up in verse 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on Christ and put off the world. It is time, the urgency of this call, it's time. Now. It's time, he says, this idea and sense of urgency that he gives. And he says to them, make no provision for the flesh. Don't feed it. Don't nurture it. Don't give it oxygen to breathe. It will overcome you if you do. Don't feed the flesh. So many wonder why they sin again and again and again. And maybe there's something in your life that you just struggle with, and you've been struggling with it for years, and you just wonder, why can I not overcome this sin? Why? Maybe this anger, maybe this laziness. I don't know what it is in your life. We've all probably got that thing that bugs us and bothers us, and we say, why can't I overcome this? And we wonder why we're not strong enough to resist it. Listen, let's just settle that confusion right now. Without God, you're not strong enough to resist it. You can't. He's told you, though, without him, you're not strong enough. But the child of God who keeps sin at bay in his life or her life, I didn't say prevented it entirely, because while we walk in this flesh, it will continue to abide with us. But the child of God that is not conformed to the world, that keeps sin at bay in his life or her life, is the child of God who does not allow themselves to be put in positions where their flesh will find food and air and nurturing. We shouldn't be surprised. And do you get the urgency? Do you hear the urgency in Paul as he says to them, again, besides all this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Declare war on the things in your life that feed the flesh. And excise them from your life. Cut them out. If you know what God has called you to be, you are among a smaller group of people than the world at large. If you know what the call to the Christian life is, you are among a subset of the world's population. If you know something of the how of that call, you are among a relatively small percentage of the world's population. But as we have been saying, you've not yet reached the goal. You can know what, and you can know how, and you can still do nothing. Many intend, but sadly fewer follow through with what the Scripture calls upon us in our life to do. This isn't complicated. This isn't rocket science, as they say. This is not something that requires a genius level IQ to understand, and I am thankful for that. You can know what to do. You can know even something of the how to do it, because God's told us in His Word how to not be conformed to the world, and you cannot lift a finger to do it. My prayer today is that something has been brought to your attention by the Spirit of God that needs to change in your life to resist conformity to this world and the thermal equilibrium with this cold world that is numb to the love of God. May we determine now that we will make this change. We'll commit ourselves to the daily reading of God's Word. We'll commit ourselves to be constant in prayer. We'll not seek to avenge ourselves, and we will not feed the flesh. And we cannot do any of that apart from the help of God and the Holy Spirit, which is what keeps us on our knees and humble before Him. May there be something in our hearts and in our minds that wants to find this place of living, this spiritual place of living, this spiritual thermal equilibrium with God and His Word and the child of God that we have been called to be. And may we sense the urgency, and may we not stop at good intentions, but may we actually follow through today, giving Him our life. No more thinking about it. No more analyzing it even, because you know enough. God has already communicated to your heart. You know what He wants from you. And it is time now to either do or not do. Good intentions are going to be just that. They're going to be nothing so long as they remain intentions. I want to read some quotes about good intentions, and there are many of good ones out there. But just to reinforce this idea, Henry Ford said, "You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do." An unknown source says it's always easy the night before to get up early the next morning. Margaret Thatcher said no one would remember the Good Samaritan if he'd only had good intentions. Joyce Meyer says good intentions never change anything. And I thought this hit me, and I think she's exactly right. Good intentions never change anything. They only become a deeper and deeper rut. The longer we intend, the deeper the rut of intention that we dig, the more difficult it is to finally do. As you get older, there are things on my to-do list. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes, and Sarah's shocked at this. At work, I'm kind of a nerd at my to-do list and organization and the way I handle email and all these other things. I like the productivity type of all that world and keeping it straight. And there are some things that when they pop up on my task list or come through email, I know at 45 years old, I know that's something I'll procrastinate. I'm going to do it right now. I wish I did it all the time. I'm a little better at it than I was 20 years ago. But today, I can something come across that that's something I'm going to procrastinate. I better do it right now. If there's something God's called you to do, stop procrastinating. All you're doing is digging a deeper rut. Doesn't mean you can't get out of it, right? But stop digging the rut. Eric Little, I love this quote from him. "You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you are willing to put into practice." You want to know why we don't know God like we want? It's not because we don't have Bibles, because we do. Thanks be to God that we do. It's not that we don't have people in our lives that are good and wonderful examples for us to see and see the joy that they have in their life following God. It's not because we don't have these things. It's because we ourselves don't put it into practice. Your life, and I'm going to come to a close here. Your life is a precious thing. It is. Do you know how precious your life is? God of heaven and earth purposely created it. And He purposely put you where you are. He purposely brought you through the difficult times that you've gone through. He purposely did all that. He's purposely washed over you as you've lived your life. And if you're like me, stumbled and fallen and run into walls and just almost silly, silly things that you end up doing in your life again and again. But He looks down and He's created you, and your life is precious. And your life is limited here. Your life here is limited. We are not yet in the age of eternity. These things you see with your eyes, this world that we live in, from the beautiful to the ugly, it's temporary. Your life is precious and it's limited. And I don't know what the limit is. For some, it's just a very few years. Sadly, some millions never leave their mother's wombs before their lives are taken. Some die as young children. Some die in teenage years. Some die in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, all the way up. Your life is limited and your life is precious. Don't waste any more of it. Don't fall into despair either, by the way. Because here's the trap Satan's going to set at the end of that sentence that I just said. Don't waste any more of your life. You know the trap he's going to set? Look at all the time you've wasted already. And you'll fall back into that rut. And he's got you right where he wants you yet again. Don't fall into despair thinking of all the time that maybe you've wasted to this point. This is a trap of the enemy. Look to God today, now, and live with him, for him, and through him. In conclusion, there will be nothing in your life. Nothing. There will be nothing in your life more important than your obedience to this call of God to the Christian life. Nothing. To resist becoming conformed to this world, to resist the universal tendency to find thermal equilibrium with the spiritually dead and cold world that is all around us, there won't be anything about which it will be more important when people stand over your casket, if that's even an opportunity, then for about your life it can be said, he tried to conform himself to God. He tried. He was a servant of the Lord. He was not perfect. He's just flesh, just a man. But he worked diligently, not because he wanted people to see how good he was, but because he loved God. And he conformed his life to the things of God. And that's how we know he loved God, is because he conformed his life to the things God said he wanted him to do. This woman conformed her life to God. Not perfectly again, not without mistakes, not without stumbles, and not without coming short of the glory of God as we read in Scripture, but knowing this, that as a pattern of their life, this person tried to conform themselves to the image of God, and they tried to not conform themselves to the image of the world. Final quote today from Eric Little. He said this, it was about his opportunity in the 1924 Olympic Games. He won the 400 meters. As I said before, he became a national hero. He said this about all of that. It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. How is your race going? What is your spiritual temperature? I pray that we take these questions to God. You do not answer me, but you absolutely must and absolutely will answer to him. I invite you to come and pray if the Lord has moved you today. You would find him, that you would not be conformed to the world, and that if you are, that today might be the day where you begin anew or begin for the first time to not be conformed to the world.